and the people of South Africa to ensure that we remain accountable for all what he spends on behalf of those who have sent us to Parliament. You are therefore welcome as Love Life organization to present your report today, your accountability. I must also say that because we are representatives of the people, we always have complaints coming, petitions coming, as well as rumors about everything South Africans do. So when you make your presentation, we will assist and reduce the number of questions by actually touching some of the grey areas which are a little bit of a concern. The fact that you are very rare in rural areas of this country. Some have heard the story that there is an organization known as Love Life, and I always keen to know what you are doing. Others believe that you should increase your footprint in many areas. Some have a belief that maybe the portfolio committee has not set key performance areas for most of our NGOs and NPOs that are funded by the department. It then becomes difficult for the portfolio committee to set its action plan as in key focus areas of oversight. So it is important that you give us a little bit in your presentation that at least these are the indicators when we start doing our work. And therefore, it becomes clear that there are key performance areas which the department, I mean the portfolio committee, would therefore be able to measure your output and to say very firmly, continue giving them budget or continue reducing their budget, depending on the assessment. But it's difficult to shoot in the dark when you don't know what was the key performance indicator and key performance area, so that you can say this is the output. Usually, the department should now begin to say to us, indeed, this was their business plan when we gave them this fund, and therefore we are able to make them account. So we therefore account on behalf of the department in the house, and then all South Africans will be happy. You are very welcome as an organization, and what I have said, I am not in any way saying you, pre-touching you on the work you do, but I am actually raising issues that have often been raised with us in correspondence, in presentations, etc. And therefore, we are very happy you are here. And as we are going to start our work now that you have been welcomed, then it comes along and so on. Then he has Uguchi, Kanda Grandan, Ushuguchi, Sizokala, Masizokala, Sizohamba, Yenzel, Elan, Elwai, Uguchi, Sinchel, Uguchi, Siobai. And he was there, Raman, I said, Uguta, Obani, Better City, Makumere, Better as the Futuchi, Lava Kona, Yibo, and Bella, Abel, Adam Seven. And this later stage, as you go over and about 17, about 100, but about 46. Nani again, Bobuza, I don't say no tolly cards, so booty, Miss Ted Booty over. kuzoba kuhle ke ukuba ndiqale ngokuba ndi-introduce mna. I will introduce myself by really saying Honorable Zoleka Khaba, CAPA. I have been given a task of leading this ship and steering it forward. I'm deployed with a number of members of parliament, and I will, because I want them to communicate directly with their partner, I will then in a role ask them to introduce themselves and also where they come from in terms of their political affiliation as well as in terms of provinces of origin. Can I request therefore that takes place, because after that I'll request our members to actually introduce themselves. This is a very good spirited people. This environment is calm. Feel free. Sisbom, can you bear the catch all the way up to Honorable Mabizo? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. I am Bozi, Chava Solidi, First State. I'm a member of parliament, a member of this committee representing the African National Congress. Thank you.
My name is Bulani Mokhosi. I'm the member of this committee. I'm from Gauteng and the member states.
Good morning. My name is Lindy Wilson. I am a member of this committee. Member of parliament, and I'm from Nampula. Lindy Way Wilson, yeah. They call me Lindy then.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Colin the Cook. I'm from New York Park and I guess the family committee.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Kwani. I'm a member of this political committee and from the most beautiful province, the Free State.
Good morning, my name is Dave Ivan. I'm a member of this committee. I'm from the better, most beautiful province, County, and I'm a member of the International Council. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Ralph Martin, and I'll be my claim on Skin. Martha Queen. Yes, that's my name. And I come from a province. We don't call it a kingdom. We have the fourth empire, Eastern Cape. Thank you. Many kings and queens.
Thank you. I'm from the Northern Cape, the largest province in the country. And I'm a member of the African National Congress, serving in this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. When you use the opportunity, I would say thank you in your
and also introduce our technical support. Can I therefore, because those are the people that you will on a daily basis interact with, it's very important. They may talk to you individually as members of parliament, they may talk to you as a collective in the form of a portfolio committee, and also you may talk to us through our secretary of the portfolio committee. Can I give you, Lindy, to introduce your other army?
Good morning, honorable members and departmental officials. My name is Lindy Wayne. I'm the committee secretary of this committee, the CEO of the committee. And on my right hand side, I'll let her introduce herself, the colleagues. Thank you.
Good morning, madam and colleagues. My name is Yulisa Nogena, and I'm the advisor of the committee. Thank you.
I'm COO. Yes. I will be one of the honorable members because these big names go with salary. So when you put directors and general managers, you must be sure it's linking with how much they take home. Therefore, let me make an apology for Mr. Abuya, who is our researcher. She's not well, she's very feeble, she told me. Not because committee assistants who always enable us to get a space first, because there are many, many committees. If your support as a committee is small in pushing, you might end up holding your meeting in one of the countries. But we have three honorable members that are not present. The Minister of the Social Development and the Deputy Minister are full members of the Portfolio Committee. So they have sent their apology. We have Burundians here around, and we are engaging in various fields so that we can benefit out of what they benefited, because they were staying in South Africa. They told us yesterday that they were taught how to lobby, how to negotiate, how to promote unity in Pretoria in the hands of South Africans, and they were saying they are now having women leading armies in peacekeeping in Mali, because they have learned that peace is very important. So the minister is engaged in that. And also we have the Honorable Van der Merwe and the Honorable Dadu. I'm not linking them with the Burundians and the mission they have said in their apologies. So we are in that arrangement. Then please, if we've got our guests, we have said it's an activist parliament, it's people's parliament. When we see a few of you in the millions coming in to listen, we take very, very much appreciating. Can I therefore ask the department to lead us in terms of how you are going to manage your stakeholder in terms of introducing yourselves or them introducing themselves, and we'll give them the platform to start the business of the day. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Chairperson, and Reed, and the honourable members. We will first introduce ourselves, then I will introduce them before they could do the presentation. My name is Peter Nechipare, DDG responsible for HIV/AIDS, NPOs, registration, and community development. Our DG has sent an apology. He was supposed to be here. He has some other things that he was busy with, so he sent me to be here. I will ask members to introduce themselves.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and the Honorable Member. It's a great pleasure for us to be here. We look forward to sharing the detail of the work of Love Life with you. My name is Grace McCarthy, and I'm Chief Executive Officer of Love Life.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Ndiche Mungoni. I'm the Director for Programs and Brand at Love Life.
Thank you, Chairperson and committee members. My name is Lucia Ziane. I'm the Director for HIV Prevention from the GDG Message Pilot Branch.
Good morning. I'm Honorable
Chairperson
and Honorable Members. My
name is Dave Jason from National Social Development, and I'm a Director and responsible for ME.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Scott Burnett. I'm the Head of Strategy at Love Life.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Chairperson. My name is Ingrid Lovo. I'm the PLO in the Ministry.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Members. My name is Abraham Barantaga from the Ministry.
Thank you very much for that introduction. Chairperson has requested
Thank you, Chair. I'm Laura Campbell from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. I'm Laura Campbell from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tandy, I'm from Elena, I'm the executive secretary to the Chairperson.
Yes, there's no underground, so we should know who is here. And we then allow, yes, to take us through.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for the opportunity. We are grateful that today we've been given opportunity for Love Life to present what they are doing. As you are aware, and as I think we have reported earlier, in dealing with HIV and AIDS, we have HIV AIDS prevention, we have HIV AIDS care and support, and we also deal with the issues of empowering communities to deal with HIV AIDS as well. And one of the things that as a department we have tasked Love Life to do was in addressing the social and structural drivers amongst the youth. In terms of prevention, in terms of our strategic objectives, they deal with prevention of HIV/AIDS among the youth communities, and I think what we are going to be listening to will be their annual report of the 2013-14 in terms of what we agreed with them, how they need to deal with the issue of HIV/AIDS prevention in the country. The presentation is much broader, but I think we will need to bear with them in terms of what they have achieved and what informed their achievement and also what informed what they are doing. Taking cognizance of what the chairperson has alluded to, I think that is going to be cognizant, and I think those are some of the things that we will be looking at. But we are also waiting for advices from the House or the members in terms of going forward. With that, few words, ladies and gentlemen, can I request the CEO of Love Life to take us through the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Nala, thank you very much for the opportunity. My presentation is going to cover the following areas. First, I'm going to give a very brief history of Love Life, how they established and end, and so on. And then I'm going to provide a little description of who Love Life is and why our approach is what it is. So our understanding of what drives Rosemary young people and what they're doing to intervene. And then that will also cover the area of convergence with the Department of Social Development, the relevance of our partnership. And then I'm going to spend a little bit of time, without going into too much detail, to talk about the current state of the HIV epidemic as it affects young people and our response. And then we will go a little bit into the performance for 2013 in terms of our program performance based on the targets that are set with social development, and then the financial performance. Then we will look at what are some of the pressures that young people continue to experience that undermine some of the gains that we have seen over the years, and then that will lead us to priorities for 2015 and beyond. Love Life was established in 1999. Between the period 1997-1999, a group of NGOs, the Health System Trust, Planned Parenthood Association, Advocacy Initiative, Planned Parenthood, Health Systems Trust Advocacy Initiative, and the Vet Reproductive Health Research Unit, which was called RHRU those years, came together as civil society to look at how they could strengthen HIV prevention program targeting young people. Around that time was the end of 1999, a funder who helped with the establishment of LabLab, the Kaif Family Foundation, entered into a memorandum of understanding with the South African government to create a large-scale HIV prevention program for young people. This was driven by the fact that at that time, half of all HIV infections were among young people, and so they were a big priority for the country. And so LabLab has been promoting healthy HIV-free living among South African teenagers since that time, September 1999. And then in 2005, a tripartite relationship was established with significant funding with the Department of Health as well as the Social Development at the time that the Kaiser Family Foundation was reducing their funding towards mothers. Since inception, LabLab's approach was to combine sustained nationwide multimedia communication with community-level outreach and support programs. So a lot of the investments of those first few years really went into mobilizing South African communities, really using mass media, billboards, television, and so on, to build awareness, but also to inspire South Africans to find a different way of, to really reduce vulnerability to HIV. And in 2003, we conducted our first evaluation of LabLab. It was conducted by the Reproductive Health Research Unit. And out of that evaluation, what came out was that the media component of our work was very important. It continued to create awareness of HIV. It continued to bring HIV in the face of South Africans. But there wasn't really a strong relationship between our media work and evidence of behavior change. Where we saw a very strong evidence of behavior change was in the face-to-face component of our work driven by a group of young people called groundbreakers who are part of the LabLab model of HIV prevention. As a result of that, LabLab started scaling up our outreach programming and scaling down of our media programming. Thereafter, the campaign continued to focus on addressing what we saw as the key drivers of risk, the individual factors, as well as the social drivers of the epidemic, with a specific new focus on structural factors around 2008, things like poverty, marginalization, even violence, or dropping out of school early. And that's the time we've launched, as we're shifting a little bit from focusing on HIV information and education and moving into enabling young people to target the structural issues in their society that we're pulling them down, as I was saying, like unemployment and dropping out of school. And that we did through a campaign that we called Make Your Move in 2008. I'm going to be going a little bit into that detail, but I just wanted to provide that as an historical overview that shows a little bit the evolution of LabLab over the years. This is just a quick snapshot of the Board of Trustees of LabLab. We are established as a non-profit trust with an NPO registered with the NPO Directorate of the Social Development. And this is a group of people really who represent dedicated South Africans, really being a Board of Trustees for LabLab. On a voluntary basis, because it's not a paying position. They represent South Africans from civil society organizations, business, as well as the labor sector within South Africa. Here I'm just sharing very briefly really our staff complement. We employ 350 full-time people within LabLab. We also have groundbreakers who are young people on a year's contract with us and on a stipend, and they're really volunteers on a stipend and who are trained, and really we have a very did a program for them that I shall talk about a little bit later. We have 1,289 of them currently, some funded by different funders, and about 535 and 50 of them are funded by social development. And we also have a group of young people we call Witches are recruited by groundbreakers in their own communities. This groundbreaker has to recruit 5 witches. And witches are completely volunteers. There isn't a second for them, but they get training from us. Except there are some partnerships that we have with other funders, like the Royal Buffalo and a few other funders, who pay for a stipend from Mbindi. So they fund Love Life so that we can pay Mbindi a stipend. And there are 305 of them. We have about 8,000-9,000 Mbindi every year, but 305 of them we're able to pay a stipend. We also have a program called the Local Gesa Program. It recruits grandmothers within communities where we find that they have very strong social capital to drive a network of protection for often and vulnerable teenagers who are put at risk by the fact that they end up looking after siblings and making themselves vulnerable to HIV. And so the Boko Gethas normally is a program of 500 goals. It was funded for us by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The funding for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation came to an end 2-3 years ago, and unfortunately we were unable to raise funds for this program, except in Mpumalanga, where the Department of Social Development continues to provide a stipend for 50 gogos. And this is a program that continues to look for partners, because it closes a very real gap in the lives of young people. And then in addition, we have freelancers who do all kinds of work depending on the activities of the month. They write for our magazines, they also provide audio for some media content, you know, so they also get little stipends, and on an average month we have 40 freelancers. So in total we create work opportunities for about 2,000 people every month through the Love Life table. So let's just give a brief overview of, you know, really our historical evolution, who we are, what we do, and a little summary of our contribution to society. And I'd like to just go into Love Life and our partnership with GST. As I said when I started, Love Life promotes healthy HIV kids living among teenagers in South Africa through a sustained nationwide multimedia campaign and community level outreach. Over the years, we focus more and more on skills development among young people, as well as psychosocial support, as we understood more and more what the areas are that are driving vulnerability among young people. As I described also, LAPLA programs are implemented by volunteers at the core of young leaders that we call groundbreakers. They volunteer for a period of 1 year to facilitate LAPLA programs within their own community. Groundbreakers are aged between 18 and 25, and they go through a year-long training with Love Life, which enables them to lead social change in their own community with the support of the Love Life team. They work with teachers, as I described, who are young volunteers who could be in school or out of school. So they range from age 12 to 25, and they also are recruited as part of the groundbreaker team within the same community. Since 2001, when the groundbreaker program was established, we've reached more than 16,000 groundbreakers that have gone through the Love Life program at young leaders. When we were founded, our mission was to reduce the rate of new HIV infections among South African teenagers by 50% within the first 5 years. To do this, we needed to scale up and work in at least 50% of all young South Africans. Unfortunately, we were not able to get to that level of scale. So in the end, we got, I will say what our scale is, we got good levels of scale, but we didn't manage to get to the 50% mark. We then evolved as we understood the social impact of Love Life over the years and the strength and the things that we are succeeding in and the things that require a different capacity.
evolved to a mission that looks at striving towards an HIV-free generation of empowered young people in South Africa who are in charge of their health, lives, and future. So what we're trying to do is, for a young person and within their own life, HIV cannot be separated from the rest of their life. They are impacted upon by a whole myriad of issues, and our intervention also impacts a lot of other areas and not just HIV. In the early years, Love Life approach, as I discussed earlier, was driven by cutting-edge communication. These are some of the examples of the billboards, the television campaigns, as well as taxi and other outdoor elements of Love Life communication. Now, as I said, we focus on building on the power of youth. And rather than just building awareness and education, HIV has evolved. It lives with young people in their own lives. And so the focus has to go deeper into the young person as an individual, and necessitating that we focus on these elements. I've already spoken about the Bound Breakup Program and our reach. Vinci's over the years, it was established around 2002. We reached about 70,000 Vinci's since inception. The learners that we reached in school between 12 and 19 years old reached an average of 1.5 million per annum. And this is in sustained interaction. These are young people who sign up for our program, ranging in length from like 10 modules to even, there's a program that has 21 modules. So the 1.5 million reach is not just one of, it's sustained communication in their own schools. And we work with 9,900 schools, and we've been increasing the number of schools that we're working over the years. And in 2013, we reached that 9,900 and a few, 15 or 16, something like that. And all of these are geo-referenced. So a map, we have a map of exactly where they are, and I'll show you just now what our map looks like. We also continue to have mass media elements, focusing really a lot on the radio, where we work with 9 SABC radio stations, 29 community radio stations. We also do a lot of work on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. We have a magazine, a print magazine, as well as our magazine being put on a Mixit. We also have subscriptions on Mixit. Young people call our call center, or in line with our call center, both by phone as well as on Mixit. You can talk to your counselor on Mixit. And then a few other digital elements of the work of Love Life. And this represents our understanding of what drives risk among young people. We believe that it is a particular interplay of individual factors, social factors, and structural factors that drive high risk tolerance among young people. Factors like, on the individual side, low self-esteem, no sense of future, and so on, this is by no means finite. There are many other individual factors that could go under that that list. What happens, we believe, is that when a young person has like low self-esteem, that results in helplessness when they are faced with challenges. Within a social environment where that is characterized by coercion, and what we've known is that in some of the formative studies that Love Life conducted, that 55% of young people who are sexually active say that that sexual experience was not voluntary. It may not have been sexual assault, but it wasn't what they wanted to do. So the coercion, and then peer pressure, and lack of parental communication, where young people end up getting key information that is important for their lives. They get it from secondary sources like friends who don't really have sexual information. And all of that, resulting in pressure to give in, to acquiesce, not really to give in to the pressure of negative social norms. This is exacerbated by a structural environment where poverty, low education, marginalization, and inequality result in young people feeling constrained in their choices. So even if communication says make informed choices, and they are given information to make informed choices, they don't really have a choice. Based on certain decisions, they have economic dependence on the subject of those decisions. And so they feel constrained in their choices. These are the things that we're dealing with on an ongoing basis when we're trying to change behavior among young people.
When all these things come together, they result in young people putting up with drugs, tolerating drugs. They may understand, but they end up putting up with drugs because of all of the things that are different, resulting in risky sexual behavior like starting having sex at an early age, and having multiple sexual partners, and so on. And then, of course, possible HIV infection. Even though I'm talking about possible HIV infection, we believe that risk construct represents risk much broader than just HIV risk. It's some of the factors that drive risk among young people in general. Therefore, that theory that risk construct that I have described to you and provides very strong alignment with the Department of Social Development's leading role in HIV, particularly as part of FANAC, where they are target addressing the social and cultural drivers that inform HIV, TB, sexually transmitted infections and contribution towards prevention of new infections, HIV infections, STI, and TB infections. The next slide really provides a summary of the basis of our partnership with the Department of Social Development. We have two key strategic objectives with a few operational objectives that we report on a quarterly basis as well as a summary on an annual basis. And strategically, we promote psychosocial well-being to reduce vulnerability to HIV and AIDS, TB on targeted key populations. That is BSB's strategic objective. The operational objective is to reach young people in rural and hard-to-reach areas. And implement teenage pregnancy prevention programs, facilitate intergenerational dialogue and open communication between parents and young people, and build the capacity of communities to respond to HIV and AIDS, equip young people with skills to navigate transitional pressures and build sustainable livelihoods. For example, that we see that the time of greatest risk of HIV infection and others is when young people are in school. So it's very important for us to get to young people while they're in school and help them, equip them with the skills that will help them navigate the periods of highest risk safer. And then, of course, sustain that change. Second strategic objective is to facilitate youth development and empowerment. The operational objective we focus on is youth leadership training, which in fact is now accredited. We established a Love Life Academy where we provide accredited youth leadership training for groundbreaker, and we're now working in the next year on getting accredited training for the pinches as well. Equip young people with skills to navigate transitional pressures and build sustainable livelihoods, as I mentioned in the last one too. Organize and facilitate leadership development camps in all provinces. So we are a key facilitator and organizer of the camps for the Department of Social Development based on the content of Love Life programs that I've already described. We also have an element of skill development where all of our centers provide cyber and computer training. We also provide media training. We train groundbreakers as what we call citizen journalists so that they collect and tell their own stories in their own communities. And then they're also trained to run events and so on. There's a new element that we just introduced to train groundbreakers, field workers to collect data that is used for research purposes. But training them in all of these areas is done deliberately so that we start preparing young people for socioeconomic activity, because these are some of the greatest areas of driving risk among young people. And then, of course, we have elements of youth clubs in the different communities and participation in games for young people through our Love Life Games program. This slide represents some of the highlights of youth leadership in the last year within Love Life. And the first one is the growing global leadership exchange opportunities for groundbreakers. And as the groundbreaker program produced more and more really dynamic young people with great potential, we realized that there was a strong opportunity for us to build on that growth by finding
opportunities for them to go to other countries, exchange with young people from those countries. So it starts growing them as leaders, as sort of global leaders, you know, citizens of the world, and broadening their horizons. So we've grown the Global Leadership Exchange Program, and we have 3 countries in Europe, Germany, France, and the Netherlands, where between 6 and 10 young people go there, groundbreakers go there every year, and in France at least we host young people from France here also to become part of the groundbreaker program for 6 months, where we have sent the other five. We've also started the exchange program now in Mozambique, Malawi and Zambia, really to start building a sense of community and understanding mutual, really that's what I call the global leadership and idea among young people. And as I said, another big highlight for us was the establishment of the Love Life Academy, which allowed us to accredit the groundbreaker program. And not only elements of qualification, but into a full qualification. So groundbreakers are able to come out of the groundbreaker program with a certificate in business administration, business management. We've also seen a slight increase in job placement, and a big opportunity for us is for groundbreakers exit the groundbreaker program. That even in the context of high unemployment and real social, economic deprivation for young people or difficulties for young people, that groundbreakers seem to be very popular to employers. So from time to time we get approached by employers to say, I need 30 people for call center position and so on. So we've seen an increase in that demand. While we cannot say that we are succeeding to place every groundbreaker because we're not, it is a very difficult employment environment, it really is, but they become more and more attractive, and Love Life has become a little bit more known as a place to recruit or to draw entry-level young people. So you have people like Mr. Pratt and so on asking for groups at the time. And that's an area we would really, really love to grow, because we can see it's part of the key drivers of growth among young people. And then, of course, we've had youth leadership camps in partnership with the Department of Social Development, where we had 1,000 young leaders who participated last year. And then with the Department of Sports and Recreation, we had 2,300 young leaders who participated, and they came from all provinces. This is just a very quick snapshot of the Love Life reach. We have an average of 500,000 young people at 1,500 sports events a year. So this is all possible for us because we have, as I was saying, 1,289 groundbreakers and about 8,000, between 6,000 and 8,000 in pitches at any particular time. And everybody who works in Love Life, their job is to support and train these young people and be at each one of the events that these young people establish. So it enables Love Life really to operate at very large scale. I have to say that one of the risks when you are operating at this level of scale is that your quality becomes a little inconsistent. However, all of these young people are trained exactly the same way, and this is what they make possible. So we have about 500,000 young people at our events. We also, as I was saying, run programs in 9,900 schools. We have sites where Love Life operates in all of South Africa. 967 of them, and all of these sites are geo-referenced. So we have their maps. So we have a map that shows you exactly where we go. Because with an objective with social development and other partners, that is, we will grow rural presence, for example, by such and such a percentage. We have to first start by saying what is the big plan, so that we can measure whatever achievement we may get. So some things are getting right, some things are areas that can still be improved. We have a total face-to-face reach of 33.5% of all South African teenagers. And this comes out of the study, the evaluation of Love Life that was conducted by the Human Sciences Research Council in 2012. On the right-hand side is a summary of the Love Life intervention, Love Life programming. It can be categorized, this is our intervention with 12 to 19-year-olds, can be categorized into 3 key areas. The first one is a core curriculum, it's life skills curriculum, that there are 3 broad groups
of our content. And this is what I was saying, run a modular program from like 10 modules to about 21 modules, for example, for positive lifestyle. And healthy sexual, positive lifestyle is sort of motivational content. It trains young people around things like identity, who am I, what do I do to the world, help them to start thinking about setting goals and helping them to start making their move, you know, starting closer to just doing something about moving towards their dreams. Healthy sexuality content, that is really about sexual and reproductive health. It covers gender, it covers relationships, and then it's constantly updated as new information becomes available about HIV or other areas that are of importance in the health of young people. We continue to update it.
So if you could try and move towards the finishing, please don't give us the entire detail. Please.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. Okay, so there are those three sort of broad categories of content. The health-seeking behavior, as I said before, education, debate, race, art and culture, public speaking, and so on. And then the skills development, computer training, media production, and accredited LabLabs training. This next slide represents LabLabs growth over the years from 2000 up to date, where I've already described what our average reach is per annum. This next slide really is when we were trying to map exactly where we are in terms of the different geographical communities. And this mapping was done for us by the MRC, which shows that we are, it was a little bit difficult for them because it's not very clear exactly what defines the rural and what whatever. So there's a category that is called mixed. So the last time we did this analysis, we had a 40% rural reach, 45% urban reach, and 15% that was defined as mixed. This is us representing the latest map of LabLabs reach in South Africa. And so it includes the schools we work in, the sites we work in, which are clinics, they also are NGOs that are franchised with LabLabs, and we've requested that the copy of the spreadsheet of all of our sites exactly where they are and their contact details be distributed. And so this is what that represents. And this is just an example of LabLabs in a slightly rural community, so all of those blue dots covering Amatole, or Tambo, piece of work. This is just an example really of typically what LabLabs looks like in a community like that. And then typically what LabLabs looks like in a metro region. So following really is a summary of the evidence of LabLabs. Some of it I've already talked about, so I won't go into detail, Honorable Chair. A few quantitative studies were conducted about LabLabs, evaluating LabLabs, where it was shown that young people who participated in LabLabs programs are less likely to have HIV. Others have also claimed that engagement with LabLabs interventions affects individual convictions so that young people believe that HIV is preventable and treatable. And then PELDA, which was the HSRC study, showed a significant impact on healthy behavior and factors like communication to facilitate healthy behavior. That's just the example. And then we had an evaluation of the Groundbreaker program, who showed that young people who participate in the Groundbreaker program successfully grow their potential through tertiary qualification, and so where other young people, the level of tertiary qualification is 50% in South Africa, some Groundbreakers is 57%. And again, with jobs, young people are more likely to be unemployed after graduating the Groundbreaker program. They're more likely to be in jobs. So I'm going to just go into the HIV risk. The latest study of HSRC shows that incidence of HIV among young people is continuing to decline, even though what you see is that among other populations, we had a growing problem of HIV.
well, effectively not having as much success as we would like to in terms of HIV incidence. Young women are still doing best at reducing new infections, but unfortunately they continue to do worse overall because young women are continuing to be at greatest risk of HIV infection. The study also shows that behaviors are getting riskier and that there is a decline in basic knowledge of HIV across the board. There are pockets of new infections, and the area that seems to require greatest focus for South Africa is informal settlement, where the rate of infection is 3 times that of other areas. And this slide really just gives a little summary of the trends in HIV incidence among young women, where in 2000, 5.3 out of 100 young women were infected every year. It has continued to climb steadily, where now we are at 2.1 of 100 in terms of incidence. So, as I say, even though this is happening, young women continue to be a population that requires even more intervention, intensive intervention, and particularly young women in urban informal communities. What this slide shows is exactly what I was describing, how urban informal communities are 2.46 people per year, so new HIV infection. So even though we talk a lot about reaching rural areas, which we've reached somewhat, we have not reached everywhere where we need to reach. But where it seems the greatest risk is urban informal communities, at 3 times the rate of HIV infection than everywhere else. So I just really wanted to make that point, because that is driving Love Life thinking moving forward if we were to intensify our intervention. I've already talked about young women accounting for the largest type of infection, so I will move very quickly. But this one really just shows 3 things. The first one is self-reported condom use. And this is really in the studies that targeting specifically young people. So young people report that they use condoms a lot. However, they also report that 61% of them say that they never use a condom when they are having transactional sex, when they are having sex for money or for anything to have, you know, whatever, where they don't really call, have the sexual power in that relationship. What we also see is that, and that is the bottom left, is that condom use declines with age. The older they get, the less likely they are to use a condom. And I'm talking teenagers. So condom use peaks at age 16. When a young person is sexually active at age 16, they are more likely to use a condom than when they are 19 years old. So we need to understand what those drivers are of decisions that can lead to risky behavior among young people. And then of course we believe that another thing that drives risk as described is the bleak socioeconomic outlook for young people in South Africa. Socioeconomic position of young people in South Africa is not good, and so continues to make them vulnerable, where they actually, because they don't have socioeconomic power, they end up not having sexual power in their relationships. And this really was just a summary showing the employment prospects for young people. I won't go into it. It shows that the median age for the first job for young people in South Africa, for young men, is age 24. For young women, they are not likely to get a job until they are 27 years old. So this is just really making the case for this economic, the role of the economic power and how it affects sexual power in relationships. And this really just quotes the National Planning Commission, where they said the social cost of long-term unemployment for young people is staggering. If a young person fails to get a job by the age of 24, they are almost never likely to get full-time formal employment at all. So we are talking about programming that has to shift more and more towards socio-economic empowerment and skills development for young people. So I'm not really, Honorable Chair, going to go into this one because I'm feeling that I have to try the voluntary question. So this next part looks at performance of life for 2013. This slide represents Love Life slides in 2013 and broken them down in provinces.
So you can see that the Western Cape, whereas it wasn't like this a few years ago, has become an area where there's the greatest number of love life sites, 127. Some of them are non-governmental organizations where we have a franchise relationship. Some of them are clinics, and some of them is what we call outlets. They're little community-based or youth-driven NGOs, driven by young people, where we appoint groundbreakers, we train groundbreakers, and we train the line manager, and we support them as a side of implementation of Love Life programs. The next one that gives you a list of all the Love Life Y centers. These are youth centers, and they are in really various states of quality. There are some really, really good ones, and there are some that require greatest investment in improving them and so on. But these are multiple centers where all of the programs are described are implemented by groundbreakers and individuals and our staff. So we have these centers in all of the country, and now we're busy with the construction of another one in Kimberley, which is a partnership with FIFA. FIFA is funding that construction, and they will fund some running costs for that center. The next one gives a summary of the distinctions. There's a total of, in 2013, there was a total of 9,689, and we did again a visual breakdown of the distinctions. Remember, distinctions are young people recruited by groundbreakers. There's one for, there's five for every one groundbreaker who works with the groundbreaker. Five distinctions for every one groundbreaker. Traditionally, a province that has always recruited the highest number of pinches in Kopo, but in 2013 we saw KwaZulu-Natal attract the young people more. So these young people in South Africa who are available and willing to volunteer in their own communities, and a big priority for us is to find a partnership like EPWP where that will enable giving a stipend to these young people because they are already trained as really good young leaders in their communities. This slide represents Love Life programs in schools. We also give them by province, but we give a little breakdown of the type of school. But one of the things that we were trying to do with the Department of Social Development is to increase our reach of farm schools. So farm schools continue to be the lowest reach. We work in 14 of them, but we work in 5,000 primary schools and 3,600 secondary schools. We've also seen a growth of schools of learners with disabilities. It has increased nicely over the years, even though it's not anywhere near where it can be. So in 2013, we reached 1.8 million young people through the programs that I described to you. And the bottom there just gives the schools we worked in a provincial breakdown. This next one looks at the skills development that we're talking about. The highest bar is compared to 2012 and 2013, represents love lifestyle, which is life skills and other skills. And then there's performing arts and public speaking skills, and then there's sports that we've seen really increase significantly in 2013. This is the same number that we reached 1.8 million, but we give a provincial breakdown of that reach. This one represents the festivals. So to mobilize and engage young people, we have to have events, and you know, they have to be pulled together for fun and playing and so on, and music and stuff like that. So we have programming that is really designed around what we call festivals and events. There were 1,400 festivals in the year, 300,000 young people participated, which was a 54% increase from the year before, from 2012. And these events really range from championships to special events, sometimes with partners and so on. This one represents the site events. These are events that happen in the different sites in the 907 communities I described. They are events around and looking after the environment. There are talks. Some of these talks happen in clinics while people are waiting. Young people are waiting in the reception, the waiting room, and so on. This next one represents dialogue. We have three types of dialogue. We have dialogue designed out of the just community dialogue using the CCE model. Then we have dialogue that is really about encouraging open communication between parents and young people.
Okay.
And start to embrace the
Can I request you that now you zoom directly to finances?
Okay.
Because this whole story must be translated into a clear program and clear business plan and what you were supposed to be doing exactly, because you're doing almost everything. So my request is that probably we need to hear how you are funded, who funds you, because there's really a return of organizations need to form partners, but we don't think we can oversight the private donor arrangement and partnership. But we want the department to account on how much they gave you and how much you accounted for, and the success we're looking at is that which has been funded so far. So can you help this meeting by zooming directly to that level? I'm going to open the floor, honorable members. Okay, honorable Cooper.
Thank you.
This screen, it doesn't seem it's working. All right.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with through you, I would request that if maybe Minister can quickly also zoom to the challenges, because one of the resolutions, if you remember, the committee identified many challenges within the lab, and today you just touched a little bit of space. Can you just tell the class what are the challenges, because we also wanted to come with a strategy how we are going to address those challenges, and then you can do your final.
Let's go to finance. Write the question, and we'll see the other things later.
Honourable Chair, we have summarised our financial performance. The financial statements were sent and the annual report was also sent. We did not separate the different funders. So this is the summary of all funding that LabLife received. The funding that we received from the Department of Social Development in this financial year was 50 million. In the 2013 financial year was 48 million rand. So it is included in that report. So the area to look at is the consolidated area, where our total...
So we won't agree with that, because in terms of budget review and recommendations report, this is a legal principle that is required by Parliament for accounting, and it is also a resonate with the Treasury rules and regulations in finances. So if you, the Department did not clearly indicate to you what type of report financially we want, it is unfortunate we won't accept it. It is not going to be discussed, because the other department as well, portfolio committees like sport, wanted the same information we're looking for. All the portfolios that discuss that partner with you want such a report. So it will not be permissible for this portfolio committee to make you account on finances that have not been transferred from our department. I think members agree with me. And secondly, I think I made myself very, very clear that we want specifics because it is accounting. And we are not doing this because we want to. There are certain standards we're supposed to be following. And we're supposed to table this report in Parliament, in the House, and convince all South Africans that it was justified for you to receive this report. I do want to say to the Department of Leadership that is leading this delegation, the Honorable Gopal, what I want, I'm referring to because they've already made a contribution, an input. When we were dealing with the DRRR, your budget review recommendation and report, we said we can't be certain of our ability and capacity to deal with this portion of finance because we are not fully informed of your business plan that led to the transfer. And we said instead of a hit and run something, a trial and error on our part in dealing with this particular portion of the expenditure of the department, we rather have a presentation which I think is taking place now. Our minutes will reflect that we said we understand the department presenting, but let us include a situation where SAFA, as a listed agency, must present. And then present to us to say, why will this fund were transferred to us? This is what the business plan tells us. I have said, we have indicators. Indicators that tell us that because this is why we have these funds, it's because of the extent of the indicators showing how bad the situation is. And we also clear that we want key performance areas so that we are able to measure what you were supposed to do and what you did and therefore the impact. For me, as I listen, honorable members, I'm going to give you to make an input. Please just be relaxed. But I'm expressing my difficulty as a chair in proceeding with the presentation because parliamentary time is very, very important and must never be used as a fruitless time because time is really money. One, that we want your niche. You can't do everything in this country. There is HIV and AIDS. There is prevention that you spoke about and strategies that you will go about, bearing in mind that there must be impact. Where do we start to evaluate? We can't go and talk about sports because we are social development. And I think these matters also include health, which also funds you, and sports, which also funds you, and us. And therefore, we cannot take any responsibility to deal with those particular areas. They are not for us. But as the research, it seems very, very broad. The indicators that you are giving us are not necessarily as a result of your intervention. Because there are many people who are intervening, the decline in new infections cannot be attributed to your intervention. We want to be very, very clear that where we went into this particular area, this is because the indicators were, and our intervention programs specified and amount spent. We can talk about people going for a camp, and then begin to believe that those numbers who attended the camp are the numbers that you must report on. I don't think it's going to be fair. But let's say we stop there now in presentation and allow the members. The issue of the finances is out. We're not going to deal with finances in that arrangement. Can I give the members time to respond? Mama Bongi, your hand is up. Mama Kobane, your hand is up. We'll see your hand. You are too much at the back. I don't know whether you can shift it to the last chair this side. Or Maxine is also said to be there. Hey, can I request that you come this side so that Utari Mavilo does not stand between me and you? Please, no, you are not making any problem. You are right here. But they should come nearer so that their hands. Why can you allow me to please to allow the members to speak? Then I'm going to give you your own fight. Thank you.
Children, I think I wouldn't want to say much. I don't really want to dilute what we have said, because whatever that we have said, I think that's the good direction that we need to follow as a committee. For mine, just to support what you are saying, that let's proceed the way you are saying it is, because it's correct. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm going to repeat what Mr. Lady said earlier. I think what Love Life needs to understand, the reason why we recruited you to come to this meeting, and I don't think you've got that information, is that when your name came up in the annual review, in the budget debate, etc., not one member of this committee could report on having seen Love Life anywhere in their province. I'm sitting with a report saying that we've contributed a tremendous amount of money to the entity, and yet nobody could really report on any activities, any media that they'd heard, etc. in the provinces. And this is where we came in requesting, please, we need a full-blown report on exactly what's happening with Love Life. And I think that is what the Chair is trying to say. We can't discuss the finances because the finances are not dealing with the issue. Just one question, if I may, add on to the statement that I made, Chair. Can you just explain to me some of the information that you've given us, and thank you for the directory that is going to help us tremendously. You talked about franchises. We've got three different groups. One of those is a franchise. Can we just clarify that the franchises are funded, and how they are funded? How do you classify a franchise? And with regards to this, I think, Chair, that I need to go through this report intensively before I ask questions that I need a proper understanding of the report first. And the finances are my biggest concern, and I'm going to stand with you on that, Chair. I'm supporting you wholeheartedly in your discussion points as far as that is concerned.
Honorable
Kopana,
because I had already acknowledged, I'm acknowledging Chikok and Mem. And at the back, I am not forgetting you. I know you are there. Once your hands are up, we are acknowledging. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I only said that maybe it's unfortunate to be in the same committee for many years, because what you just said today is exactly what you said when you were here. I even know when I'm having the minutes, what you mean is that when you were here, it's the same thing, nothing has changed. That is the most unfortunate thing. Chair, as much as you said that you must not talk about finance, but I'll leave the finance for now. But my question is regarding the stipends that is only being paid for the engagements. I want to find out how much stipend do you pay for the ground workers, because last time when we were here, there was a problem with the standardization in terms of how you pay the stipends. Other provinces were paid so much, other people were paid so much. So I want to find out how much do you pay the ground workers, because we're silent about that. And my other concern is regarding how you reach the farm community. One of you, that's why I wanted you to talk about the challenges that you are facing. You were sort of, you want to talk about your challenges. You just started there and there. You are not specific in terms of your challenges. But what most very forward is when you put the graph there. Apparently, you still have the same problem of accessing the farming community. And the resolution that was taken, our recent resolution, that was taken by this committee through your presentation. One of the things that we said that for you to access the farming community, you should be working with the NGOs in that community. And you totally agree that you are going to make sure that you are going to capacitate the NGOs in that community. I don't hear anything about those NGOs we even requested the details that she do so. One of the frustrations of NDA, it was that it was sort of overlapping in terms of skills transfer to the NGO. So I wanted to find out from you, since you're both from social development, though it's an internal entity, what is your working relationship with NDA to make sure that you capacitate the NGOs also to do your work? Chair, mine, most of the time I'm sure I was concerned the money more than anything. I just wanted to find out about the money. But the money part, I'll leave it for now. Thank you, Chair. But the strategic plan, they promised us to come up with a strategic plan, how you address other challenges. So that is nothing that you said today in terms of your problems.
The strategy is not there, because even if it was in writing, it doesn't respond to strategic objectives which are actually set by the department. But I want also to be sure that to make it clear that we don't oversight you. We oversight the department. And the department is going to be on the hot water for your own actions. Because it's them who must monitor you. We give the money to the department. The department does the transfers. Because we want to be very clear on this matter as to what is their niche. For example, has NDA funded from the same department that will exactly what NDA does? Secondly, you also have seekers out there. So you can't allow the limited resources to do the work that all the technical colleges as well as the seekers out there. There's also the non-research from the rural development. So now it seems they are going to partner with everyone else, because now talking about EPWP. But I think the reason we don't know what we are going to do, what we are doing with you, because we seem to be doing everything. But let the issue of funds, because Honorable Governor, as much as you want the criteria of funding, they are activists, whether in the form of entry, in the form of groundbreaker, and also reach out. It's not by who is brought to you. Who brings these people for you to appoint? What other participatory process that takes place there? Because even if you have a groundbreaker there, how is he going to be monitored? By whom? Because you don't seem to have a clear plan of public participation, which is actually key to HIV and AIDS problem, because it's a societal matter. So that's why I'm saying, we're paying because we want to talk about finances, but I can see we've got constraints. And if we talk about them, it means we'll be leaving. Imagine that they have presented a report on annual report. I checked up the whole document. There was no clear indication that says so much has been received from this department. This, because our business plan was this, and so on. It does seem financial administration is a key problem, key challenge for us. But you do hear that the fourth parliament identified matters and referred to you. Mama Tipok, Mama Mukhozi, you, am I correct? Yes, Tipok was sent.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, I'm not sure how we're going to proceed from here, but I would like some clarity on a few matters, whether they give the answer now or at the later stage. I think probably the most important phrase from the presentation is this one that speaks to the clear trend in HIV incidence, where you actually speak about incidence of HIV prevalence. I want to know that incidence is the same as HIV infection rate, and is that the same as HIV prevalence rate? Or what does this incidence actually mean? And then, I mean, all of the work that you do, my understanding is it actually aims at reducing the number of the prevalency rate of HIV infection amongst young people. Now, if I understand this correctly, the Human Science Research Council says you've done tremendously well, and you have reduced the infection rates amongst young people. But is this the only institution that is doing research on cancer, and how does this research compare to other research, and is all the research coming to the same conclusion? And the last point, well, there's two other points that I want to raise. I have concern with most departments and most entities and the various NGOs that a lot of money is spent over numerous years, but then the entity comes or the department comes and says, but we can't really tell you what the impact is of our program. Now, I believe evaluation is not done at the end, it is already done in the beginning. You should have, as the chairperson said, clear indicators, and you should have an idea of what the impact is. Then you do a pilot study in a small community, you make sure that your program has an impact, and then you spend millions. So now we spend millions and millions and millions, but we don't have a concrete conclusion, and that really concerns me. So the last question that I want to ask is, long-lasting to be quite big, and you do projects that are also done by departments, do you intend in future to become less dependent on government funding, or are you going to be dependent on government funding forever? Thank you.
I wanted to allude what you said earlier, because for us interrogating this report and whereas the finances are not clear, it's difficult. And number two, when you talk about the report that is taking an annual report, you know, in terms of a good government, when you talk about annual report, you talk about the strategic mandate of the department that is funding you and your mandate as an NGO and entity, including the finances. Now, it doesn't have it. The problems are not similar to us. And they're taking that you have been sponsored by other research departments. So, there's a social development committee. I thought, Chair, we will get only issues that attain social development so that we know. Because we are sitting in social transformation cluster. When I look at this document, it's more on Department of Health where they love life. So it is difficult for me to interrogate what is happening, because this is a holistic report, maybe that is including other sister departments or other funders. So it would be what you said, what the transfer of social development is doing to love life. Because here we have good health. And I wanted to emphasize, I'm from Soweto, NYC. I have seen here there's a love life, but you sponsored check under Department of Health. The image is opposite me, but there's no love life at the body side. And the rate of crime high, youth there, in West Java, is part of this under health. So that's why I said, let us focus on that 48 million that the social development is transferring to you. We wanted to know that one, not only to tell one. It will be difficult for us to go through this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I support what you say in the rest of the members. We need to get into what the department is funding and hear what they're doing with that money. Thank you very much.
I don't want to repeat what my colleagues have said, that indeed the Department of Social Development is giving half life 48 million. So without the figures here, it's difficult to engage robustly with the report and this. So your earlier direction was as proper to say maybe a proposal that Love Life must go back and deal with the financial aspect properly, and then a program undertaken during the period of review can then be matched with the 48 million that we've received. It will be fair to us. And the chair here
needed suggestion, but if he can vote all the other conversations, because I also have a lot of other issues to raise, but with other figures there, it's going to be difficult. So Edward's going to be the line that I was to reach. Thank you.
Structurally, I want to say you are very poorly structured, because you talk about 900 schools. That is the Department of Education. And I don't find a situation where social workers are involved, because so this is social development fund, and we have these food soldiers in the form of social workers all over. Because we can't allow a situation where you are working in a school, maybe you are counselor, the principal, or the SGP of that school. They have nothing to do with us in terms of accounting, in terms of funding, because I would understand if this department in that particular area, can I say with the department, in terms of delegation, when you delegate power to someone to do that on your behalf, the delegatee remains responsible. So if you give funds to someone, for someone to implement on your behalf, it means you are hands off on by the local structure of that particular department. I can tell you, I come from Fondo, not necessarily in Bizana. But in fact, when you come and present next time, remove this research. It is very dangerous to you. There's no decline that you're talking about. I was in Bizana, and we were teaching rounds in hospital. Maternity ward, the 25 young people that were there, you're talking about being sexually active at 16 or 18, they were 12, 13 years old. They were in maternity ward. 25, you can go to those records. And with them, they were coming from the deep rural areas of Bizana. But we also asked, we were surprised by one indication that we asked, where old baby is with nurses, where your baby in the nursery? And when he asked, are you breastfeeding? They then said, no, we were not allowed to. That then was an interpretation to say they are all HIV positive. 25, I was with the MSC for Social Development, and I'm saying that was the little number that was admitted because they were giving birth. But the infection rate continues. Can I see your linkages? Your linkages are not necessarily talking to family disintegration, poor parenting of those particular youths. You are not talking about the drug abuse. Because once they are under the influence, either of alcohol or drugs, they can't use any condom. So it's not a matter of they are not in control or in control of the relationship at that particular time, both drunk or under the influence of drugs. So I think in terms of research methodology and drawing conclusions, you must be very careful, very, very realistic, because that is very topical and critical at the stage we are, especially with HIV. Because many people want to concentrate on saying, are we doing well or are we doing, and we want to be having, to be very transparent in terms of, are we winning or are we losing. So we don't take anything as a counter. As you hear something that was said by someone who actually said and conducted the research. Even the Medical Research Council, when they came here, it was clear that they didn't reach out areas. And if you say you are working somewhere, you cannot, this whole directive you've given us here remains a huge problem.
I do even go to Mbizana now. And it is that those love life, whether the centers or sites, they are not allowing any public participation by locals. They are not necessary in linkage with other role players in that particular area. Let me then therefore say, we are in agreement. I will allow the last input, so that with the input you will be giving honorable members is that what instruction are you giving to the team, because social development, I met the minister last night and I told her that we are meeting this team today, and I discussed with the minister that I will have to come back to the minister, and I think we will discuss this matter as honorable members and the minister, because we are on hot water in so far as this particular funding is concerned, and we want thorough information so that we can take informed decisions. As much as I don't think our decision will be very palatable. So I beg to say, honorable members, once you make your input, we allow the team to go back, and probably the leader of the delegation will be left behind so that we give clear guidance when you come and make your presentation. I'm sorry. So, honorable members, be short and have your last word. Thank you very much. Honorable Wilson, say what's up.
Thank you, Chair. To the Lugnuck and the 10 representatives here, I think the chairperson's made a very good point. You've lost your purpose. You've become everything that you were when you started how to do this. And that is training, you're a training and development company, you're a job, you're a recruiter, etc., etc., etc. Now, I've got nothing against any of that, okay? But my concern is this, that, as the chair said, the focus has been lost as to what Love Life was supposed to do in the first place. I just want some information, please. You on your youth leadership highlights, you talked about the growing global leadership exchange program, which is opportunities for groundbreakers and accreditation of the groundbreaker training into full qualification through the Love Life Academy. Two questions with regards to that. In terms of your global leadership exchange, I presume you are working in partnerships with an organization in Germany, France, and the Netherlands, as you are there, and on this exchange program. And the other thing, accreditation,
Thank you. There will be no more questions. I thought I was saying, honorable Wilson, it's a message that says what do you expect, but I think you made your point, because the department, we can't be Love Life becoming an international organization working in Malawi, etc., while South Africans are dying here. Those funds, you must tell us your niche, you must tell us your geographical location. These things are nice to have. To actually have all these we have international arrangements, and those people who work internationally are funded to do so. We are not going to fund any international activity in so far as Love Life is concerned. And secondly, the media you use, we want to know when you come, whether you pay for that or you do freely. But I was very, very annoyed when I listened to Mkabu Henene one day. They were presenting in PE, and things they were talking about parents, when other parents even phoned to actually reject what those people were saying about parents, that the young people have got their own life, and the elder have got their own life, they have done what they did, this is their life, in a public broadcaster, actually violating a lot of norms and values. I don't know, there were just young kids, if you listen to their voices, but I think everyone was offended. That's when I decided to switch off and in my mind, as long as what you call is English, if they were English, but they were actually making the situation worse. So I think there is no orientation as to when you address the nation in a public broadcaster, how do you respect different values and norms of society. So I think you need to leave. Honorable members, can I release them and say thank you very much for coming, as much as for your presentation, but the department must remain behind so that we can give the last instruction. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Yes, because we want to finish the business. We've got other meetings, please. Please make it quick, honorable members. We just want to talk to the to make in house arrangement with the department.
Take the chair. Make it difficult, make them answer.
Okay. Oh, please close the door behind me. Yeah, I wish honorable members would not be making this issue a political issue. I think it's a national concern, and we need to deal with that in that regard. You saw the disaster of India. We gave out 48 million. And this 48 million, it is not clear, because we didn't allow them to detail it. Whether it was a lump sum, whether it was in terms of changes, because the accountability, when you transfer so much, you expect a report as per what was in your business plan. And once that has been finished and accounted for, you send another check. Because I don't know how it comes if they get 48 million. One, two, two, first, the objective is to promote preventive and promoting health care. Then, secondly, on their prevention, they focus on youth in terms of educating them, empowering them, so that they prevent further infection. The next thing, they are elsewhere, they are in sport, they are overseas, they are internationally, Malawi, they have exchange, they are recruiting, they are training people, they are tracing people, so I don't think I'm happy with this whole presentation. I'm very, very disappointed, I must open my heart. I did not expect that we will get what we have got. But fortunately, the members here have got all the political maturity to ensure that we get this thing correct. We are not a witch hunt. We are not, but we will personally speak to the minister so that you go. I don't want to use any words like investigate or whatever for now, because you investigate when you are not happy with the report, but we have not received the report. We will then decide what actions to be taken once we have had a formal report, authentic report, in the form of a report. And we don't want to be educated here about behaviors and how people, what are the risk factors. I think over years we know this. HIV has been with us for a very long time.
who's likely to have it, who's likely not to have it, and the environment upon the challenges and everything, we are not interested. We are interested in their programs, we are interested in the outcome and expenditure patterns insofar as those funds concerned. And they must tell us what do they do with the savings or whatever the interest. So they must be very clear. Please relay this to the DG so that we are not going to give you a long time. But I don't want to give them the deadline because their deadline might interfere with our deadlines of the oversight and so on. So we are not booked for now. We are saying they must prepare this. We can call them anything once we have space. Let's put it that way. Leave it open because I'm not able, honorable members, to say next week you might be in the pump. I don't want to say that week you might be on your constituency work. I don't know, you might be going for the small manner of sense I'm told you we have. So let us leave it open. But when we call them, they must be in a state of readiness. Thank you very much. We can allow the members now of the department. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much. So the second item, we are going to be very quick on the members. What is it? Adoption of minutes. Can we be ready? Members having a meeting they want to raise in so far as process. Honorable Tikok, are you wanting to say anything?
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we're even, but very good, and I think we all agree totally.
Yeah, are you happy? Yes? Mama, for me?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I think you did very well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
I don't know because our program seems to be full. Remember we adopted a program until the last week of the month. So maybe perhaps we'll be seeing them next year by the end of the week. We really adopted the program, not unless we deviate from the program. But for now, Shane, I can say you won't give them the deadline. I don't know how I'm trying to say. We don't have enough time until we see them.
Maybe in my capacity as a chair, I will interact with the minister so that the minister is actually instrumental in ensuring that everything that must be done insofar as love life, you see, is when we get that report, it is what we want to understand better. So thank you very much for allowing the process. Now what is in front of us are the minutes. You remember we have got minutes that we have to adopt, which we did not because of the time at that stage. The minutes with us? Do we have the copy of the lab of the meeting? Oh, okay. I really congratulate the members who graduated, whoever carries papers. There will be a lot of saving in this portfolio committee. An environmental free. Now, how do we manage this? Do you want us to go to, or what do you want us to do? But I would want not to keep you a long time this time around because of the other activities you have in any way. Honorable Masaba,
we receive minutes in time. One should acknowledge that. And the assumption is, once you receive minutes in time, then when we get there, it takes. We read the issues that we have seen in the minutes, then we adopt them. So my proposal will be, let's go straight to them, set up minutes, and then we adopt them. If there are any matters that
the neighbors while they were reading them at home, their bedtime, they think that those letters, perhaps they are not captured well, or else they omission, or else if their letters arise in error in those minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Good idea. I will acknowledge parents have much else to raise insofar as minutes are concerned. Can you read in terms of pages? Put it in pages, not in report. You say anything in page one, anything in page two?
In page one, all members in the attendant cluster are reflected as they were in the meeting. Page two. Can I put the picture?
Okay, again, we have a presentation,
Yes,
this is Shogumisa, this is MTA. I think we interrogated those presentations properly. Not unless they are spelling letters, and I think the presentations, I can remember them very well now. Can any member, yes, because the last recommendation was that all the recommendations will be captured under the BRRR committee assent. I don't see anything that was not correct, but you have at least 5 minutes to look into that. I had already proposed the adoption. No. Oh yes, my uncle is proposing adoption. Can I get a second honorable Mobilo? Then minutes have been adopted at this committee. Okay. Can you switch one? Yes. Okay, the next item will be minutes of the 15th of October, where we were dealing with the annual report of the department. You can see those are the names of the people who attended. There's the presentation by the Auditor General on the findings. I remember this one. PFMA issues. Those were your observations, and those are the challenges you see at before your observations. They are the challenges. We're on day four. For the observations by the committee and the recommendations, also they were to be captured with the BRRR. And also the SASA presentation, the recommendations, also the same story. We got, yesterday that was it, an answer that was important for us. In validity of current day payment tender. Those were the comments that were made. I think, can we put this on if there are no more hands on adoption? Honorable Mabino?
I move for adoption of the manager.
Thank you very much. And second, honorable. So for now, members, I take this at the end of our business, and I take this opportunity to say thank you very much for a minute. Okay. Please guide me properly.
or I'm told we're not present. Honorable Nkosi, we are covered. Thank you very much for your commitment. Can I help, please? Okay. I want to, whatever circumstances that made us to have a visa 71, to have a number of sets of minutes, whatever the reason where I've not ignored your warning that they shouldn't be delayed. So I put forward my apology. Irrespective of whatever reason we can give, we must try and deal with that tendency. So that I really appeal to you to forgive me on this one. We are on minutes of the 17th of October. 17th? Oh, it was the visit of Shogumis. And but, yes, these are Shogumis minutes. Can we, and NTA, can we put the four adoption? I know there were not much issues. The recommendations also, it was issue for us. Any move on the Zimabilo? Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, it was the most difficult meeting I Thank you very much. Any last minutes? Okay. Yes, 20 seconds. We were in room 15. Oh, so the adoption of the shop. Okay. Yes, this is 29. For many members of Tinder, we were dealing with the Central Drug Authority. Of course, there were many challenges. We're looking to meet them again. I don't think any of the outstanding issues, they will come again. Can I request Dauphine, Honorable Wilson, Honorable Nkosi? Do you have any more minutes? Okay, thank you very much. I am very jealous. I'm going to go and look for my tablet. When I come, I will be having two beds. One will be my computer, one will be the... Everything will be here. Honorable Wilson?
Before we close, in our last meeting we had a discussion with regards to the Committee on Fasting and Program. Do we have any idea at this stage what the program looks like?
Thank you very much. We have been given a guidance by Parliament to say there is a complaint out there that when we do this oversight, we also leave out the province and the department, the legislature and the department. So what I've actually asked, we're still going on the members, is to write to the department, which has already been done, so that they give us a list of areas they have, so that our choice is wide. So you will be informed in due process. But let me be very frank that we have put our proposal so that we're allowed to go. So that process is on, so that it is not delayed by the actual geographical location. I look forward for us being meeting there. Thank you very much. It's on. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
4 days. 4 days.
Gracias.